Morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Beis, the 32nd chapter in Yirmiyahu. And this is really one of the most astonishing prakim in all of Sefer Yirmiyahu. Let's just appreciate what's going on over here. It's really essentially one simple dialogue, and although it's a very long perek, it can be broken up into very specific spaces in that dialogue. Here's how it goes. I would title this perek The Deed, The Buying of the Land. How does this work? So the first few psukim, Aleph through Hey, give us the context of this perek. When does the perek take place? It takes place in the 10th year of the king of Tzidkiyahu, which is in the 18th year of the king of Nebuchadnezzar, which means to say, we're talking really on the brink of destruction. Nebuchadnezzar is advancing upon Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is about to be destroyed unequivocally. In the last destruction, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, Yerushalayim is going to be burnt down, and we know that Yirmiyahu at this point in time is in jail. Why is he in jail? The Malbim explains very simply because he was prophesizing while there was a siege going on against the Babylonians outside. Yirmiyahu was saying, you're all going to die. Hand yourself, don't listen to the king, hand yourself over. And if you hand yourself over, you will be saved. We saw that prophecy earlier on. What's fascinating about this is that he was treated as a traitor because you're speaking against a standing king. How could you? And for that reason, he was put in jail. So that's the context of this perek. And now Hashem gives him this prophecy. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, this is what's going to happen. Chanamel ben Shalom Dodcha. So you have this relation, this cousin of yours, whose name is Chanamel, who comes from Anasos, which is the place you grew up. Well, he's going to come over while you're in jail, and he's going to give you a mishpat ha-geula to buy a piece of land. And he's going to come to the prison courtyard, and he's going to offer you the option of buying this stay geula, this field of geula. And Yirmiyahu says, and then when he arrived, I saw that this is Hashem's prophecy, and that's what I did. I went and I bought this field, and I took out the silver, and it was, Shiva Shkolim by Sarah Kesef, it was 7 shekel and 10 kesef, very specific, and I wrote the deed, and I came and I measured out the silver on the scales, and I had the deed signed and sealed. They would seal the top part of the document, that would be remain sealed as testament to the acquisition. The open part would be used for buyers. And I gave it to Baruch ben Neria, ben Mechasya, who's going to take the deed, and Hashem told him to bury it in a earthenware vessel, so it should stay for a long time, because Hashem says, I'm going to bring you back to this land. That's what Hashem tells him. So before going any further, let's just appreciate this over here. The Mitzudos points out that the reason why this is going on in general, just halachically speaking, is as we saw from Megillas Rus, there's a notion that if somebody loses land and needs to have it redeemed, needs to have it acquisition by somebody else, the people who have the first dibs are the close families. They are called the Goel, the redeemer of that land. So what seems to be happening over here is Chanamel is trying to sell some ancestral territory, some ancestral fields, and Yirmiyahu, who happens to be the closest relation, is being given offered the first dibs. That's what Hashem is telling is happening over here. And just as a side note, why would Chanamel be wanting to get rid of this prophecy? And the answer is, well, the market's about to take a little bit of a plunge, isn't it? Because Nebuchadnezzar is surrounding Yerushalayim. So anybody who wants to liquidate their assets at this point in time, because as long as they have it in gold, they can leave the country and go somewhere else. When their money is invested in real estate and nobody's buying when everything's being burned down, well, that's not very good for your investment. So that seems to be what's going on over here. We will see later on, this Baruch ben Neria character seems a very righteous person. We're going to see him appear later on in some of the later Prakim in Lamed Vav, and in Mem Gimel and Mem Hay again. We're going to see his deep connection to the land of Israel and prophecy later on, to be continued on that front. What is fascinating about this whole thing is that in the midst of all of this, Yirmiyahu says in Pasuk Ches, when he arrived, Va'eda ki dvar Hashem hu. I knew now that God was telling me that this was from God, that he had arrived. What, Yirmiyahu doubted that the prophecy he received was from Hashem? Yirmiyahu never doubted. Yirmiyahu never questioned, never suggested any doubt, despite the painful nature of any of the nevuos he received. He never questioned. So what's he saying? So the Malbim says it's a tenet of our faith that a prophet cannot question his prophecy. And what must be happening over here is he didn't know the specifics. He didn't know if he was going to be offered an option of buying, or whether he was going to be forced into buying this estate geula. And when he came, that's when I knew what Hashem meant. That's what the Malbim says. And the other Mepharshim, the classic Mepharshim, take this approach, the Barbanel, the Radak. Rabbi Ben Ilau, in his essay on Sefer Yirmiyahu, suggests another approach. And he says that maybe, in fact, Yirmiyahu did doubt it. Maybe what was going on over here is that at this point in time, Yirmiyahu potentially thinks that he is hallucinating. Meaning, think about this. He's stuck in jail as the Babylonians are encroaching upon the city, and he knows they're about to destroy and burn the city down. He knows this. And now Hashem's telling him, hi, you're going to buy the land which people are trying to sell in a fire sale. I mean, really? That could that possibly be what God wants from me? And when he suddenly walks in there, and Yirmiyahu says, "Va'ida kimei Hashem," and that now I know that it's from Hashem. Meaning, it's so astonishing, it's so not believable that this could be what Hashem is talking about. That until he actually saw it, he maybe thought that it wasn't, that he wasn't receiving nevuah. Maybe he thought it was a voice in his own head because it was so crazy. And that's that. And then Hashem says, "No, I want you to do this," and he knows it's a prophecy. So Yirmiyahu now stands up and makes a soliloquy. This soliloquy goes from Pasuk Tes Zion to Pasuk Chofei. Although up till now he has been in the presence of all other people in the prison yard, and he's made this financial exchange, and he's bought this field, which obviously Hanamel's got a great deal, because I mean, like, you know, he's walking out with, you know, liquid assets, and Yirmiyahu is now stuck with a field which is going to be burned down in the near future. So Yirmiyahu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Hashem, he says, look, I know you do good to the Jews, but I also know that in the end of the day, you have slated for destruction. You gave it to the land, but I can hear the machinations of war outside the city. You see it right now. You tell me to buy a field with kesef, for aid edim, and to establish witnesses on the deed, while the city is being given over to the kastim. Hashem, what do you want? We've never seen this before. Yirmiyahu has never questioned Hashem in this way. He's saying, Hashem, what do you want? What are you trying to show me, Hashem? You're asking me to buy while you've told me destruction is happening. What is going on over here? And it just as a footnote before going further into Hashem's answer, it's worthwhile noticing if you look in Pasuk Yud Ches, he addresses Hashem in the following appellation. This is Drush. He says, Hakel Hagadol Hagibor Hashem Tzvakol Shemoy. Hashem is the great one, who's the strong one. It's interesting, the Gemara in Yuma and Sanhedrin point out that as the destruction was coming along, that the numerous of the Nevi'im actually dropped certain titles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for instance, Yirmiyahu no longer was able to say Noira. Moshe Rabbeinu says, as we say in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, turning to Hashem, who's great, Gadol, Gibor, strong, and Nora, awesome, powerful. Yirmiyahu doesn't address him as powerful anymore. Says the Gemara, why? Because he says, Ayeno Rosov. Where's his power? If you see the Bnei Yisrael being pulled into exile, where's his power? Later on, they dropped the term Hagibor. Daniel dropped the term Gibor, because where is Gevur Rosov when Bnei Yisrael are like a lamb among 70 wolves? It was Anshek and Sagdola reinstituted these two terms later on to say that Hashem's Gevura and Hashem's Noira'ah, Hashem's strength and power, is to be found in the fact that he withholds himself as Israel's suffering. It's just a worthwhile conversation to think about future for Shemoneh Esrei. Side point aside, we continue. Yirmiyahu has questioned Hashem. Hashem, what are you doing? What do you want? What are you trying to make me buy this field for? You know the destruction is coming. So what happens? Hashem responds in three parts, and these three parts are pretty straightforward. Pasuk Chav Vav to Lamed Hay is very simple. Where Hashem says, you're right, I have brought destruction upon Israel, and the destruction is what they deserve, because it's on the houses that they serve, on the rooftops they serve Avodah Zarah, or the rooftops which are going to be burning in fire in short order. But part two of the answer, Lamed Vav to Mem Aleph, Hashem says, you know what? But there's going to be a prophecy of return. Va'ata lachein amar Hashem l'kei Yisrael, ela ir azoy sashiratem amrim nitna l'me biad melech bavel, l'cherev v'rov v'dever. You know, this city which you say is given over to all the destruction, hinei mekabtso mikol haratzos asher yidachtim shom, va'api v'chamosi v'kesev gadol. I'm going to bring them back. Va'ashivoysim el amakom azeh va'ashivoysim novetach. I'm going to bring them back to in strength. And that's why, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the third part of the answer, which is Mem Beis, to the end of the parak, which is Mem Dalet. That's why in the last pasuk, Sodos by Kesef Yiknu, by fields, V'Kosol B'Sefer V'Kosol Mo'ed V'Edim. That's why I asked you to make the deed and sign it and have testimony. Be'eretz Binyamin V'Yisvei Yerushalayim V'Ari Yehuda V'Ari Hahar V'Ari Hashveila V'Ari HaNegev Ki Ashiv Eshevusam No Mashem. Because I'm telling you, as sure as destruction is right here, be as sure that Geula is going to come. It is at the apex. It is at this moment where we're teetering on the void, where you're about to fall into destruction, and you should know 100% that you're going to come back. And you're going to dig back up that deed, and you're going to re-requisition that field, because the Geula is coming. It's at the moment of greatest destruction that the greatest Geula is being heralded. And I think, just to add one last point to this, I think this prophecy needs to be contrasted with the prophecy in Perek Chavtes, where Yirmiyahu sends out a letter to those in the diaspora and says, buy fields, marry, have children, invest in the country around you. And people, there were people who said, he's a blasphemer. How could Yirmiyahu say such a thing? That's not very frum to say to invest. What about Israel? How does that work? So I think that's really our attitude in general. We live in the diaspora. We've lived in the Golos for so many millennia, for hundreds and hundreds of years. Yes. But as we invest there, we remember that buried in Israel is the real deed. We remember where we really own land. We remember where the only place it is that we can live freely as Jews and recognized in our own sovereignty. That's where our deeds are buried. Yes, we invest. Yes, we plant vineyards. Yes, we marry and we have children in the diaspora. But our real stake is buried in the land of Israel. I think these two prophecies need to be read together. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.